know God to be an excellent God. If you could just stand to your feet this morning. If you could just stand to your feet this morning and say, thank you, God, for waking you up this morning, for allowing you to be in your right mind, for keeping you through all the wiles that the enemy tried to bring against you. I don't know about you, but God has been a good God. He has been a great God. And he deserves all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Yes, God. Come on. Come on. If you were cheering for your team, you'd be going. We're talking about God who woke you up this morning. A God who has kept you in your right mind. A God who's allowed you to walk even when you're in pain. God is truly worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. I don't know about you, Dr. Rob, but I'm starting to understand. The older and the older I get, when my grandmother used to say, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't understand my praise, but I'm thanking God for what he's done for me. You may not understand my praise, but I'm thanking God for how he kept me, because he is truly worthy to be praised. Let the church say amen. Giving honor to the Spirit of God that is in this place. It is good to be in a church where you can praise and worship a true and a living God. It is good to be in a church where we understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I give homage to that spirit. And if you don't know that spirit, my prayer for you is that you get to know that spirit by the time that you leave.
I will be 82 years old on Tuesday. And God has kept me. He's protected me. He's healed me. He's delivered me. And I'm standing on the promises of God. Hallelujah.
Come on, bless God for 82 years. Some people don't even make it 82 months. But we thank God that we can serve an 82-year God. We praise God for the Spirit in this place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we are thankful for that. I said a couple times as I was sitting there, I said, well, I don't need to preach because y'all talked about everything I'm going to preach about today. But I thank God that the Spirit of God operates in such a way that it unifies and ties everything together in due season. For those of you all who are not with us during our time of scripture reading, I'll be reading from John chapter 8. verses 31 through 38. And I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The version earlier that was read was an NIV. It's similar, but there are some differences. You can follow along either in your Bible or on the screen. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples and will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they answered him, "We are the descendants of Abraham, and we have never been slave to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will make us free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily I tell you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household, and the son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me, because there is no place for you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." In the time that we have this morning, I would like to preach from the subject, Independence Day. Tap your neighbor and say, "Independence Day." Let us pray. Spirit of living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask in this moment that you would hide me behind the cross. God, without you, I have nothing to say. But God, with you, the words that come out of my mouth can change and transform lives. God, we pray that your word might go forth so that you might be glorified, the people of God might be edified, and Satan might be horrified. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So 3 days from now, it's going to be a lot of celebration going on. And we're celebrating the independence of the United States and all that means. And I would be willing to say, Dr. Rob, if I went through the audience randomly and asked, what were we celebrating independence from? Not many people would be able to answer that question correctly. And so the teacher in me says, we need to have a history lesson. Because what I've quickly come to understand in my 37 years of living, that if we don't understand the history and the things that we've been through, we really won't understand where it is that we're going. And so I want to spend a little bit of time before we get into the word and kind of setting the context for what we're going to be talking about today by having a quick history lesson. And so one of the reasons why we're able to celebrate July 4th, and I'm sure some of y'all have already planned the cookouts, and you've probably gone to Sam's and Costco's and stood in the long lines, and you've already made plans with who you're going to see the fireworks with. But I really want to help you to understand why we celebrate like we do. And so I want to talk about the 13 colonies. And I know oftentimes we hear the word 13 colonies in history classes, but I never knew before yesterday what the 13 colonies were or who was even involved in those 13 colonies. And so the 13 colonies were divided up into three different areas. You have the New England colonies, which are New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. You have the Middle colonies, which is New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And you have the Southern colonies. So that's why those of you who don't believe it, we are in the South, amen? Because we're below the Mason-Dixon line, Maryland is actually in the South. I'm giving that to you for free. So we're not in the North. We are a southern state. And so the southern colonies are Maryland, Virginia, North and South Carolina, and Georgia. And so here's what a picture representation looks like if we were to be back at a time in which the colonies existed. This is kind of how it would look. And if you notice, all of the states that are on the left side are states that we know are today, but when the 13 colonies were formed, they were not formed yet. Those other states that make up the whole 50 United States. And so what ended up happening in 1776, these 13 colonies, which represent the states that I listed up on the screen, they decided that they didn't want to be under British Empire rule anymore. And so they got together with the Collective Congress and were like, we want to declare our independence. And so on July 2nd, 1776, They signed the Declaration of Independence, and that's how we got to 4th of July. So we're not celebrating on Wednesday barbecues. We're not celebrating fireworks. We're celebrating our independence from the British Empire. And so if anybody asks you from now on, you can intelligently say, I know why we're celebrating 4th of July. It's not because somebody said that's how it is, but because of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, then we are able to celebrate 4th of July. And so you thank God for our forefathers who were able to have the mindset to want to be separate from the British Empire. And as a result of that, we are able to get a day off of work. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, adults. We're able to get a free day off of work, and we're able to enjoy our family and our friends as a result of that. Now, just as the 13 colonies were able to have independence, we are able to experience Independence Day as well. Now, for many of us, when you look at people in the midst of praise and worship, oftentimes the way people praise can be an indication of what they've been through. Now, you may have those quiet worshipers who within themselves may not be up jumping around or doing whatever, but they are praising God at the same, if not a higher level than everybody else. So don't judge somebody by their praise because you don't know what they've been through. If you're not jumping around, that's all right. If you're not stomping around, that's all right. If you just rock back and forth in your seat, God still recognizes your praise as the same person who's running around the church. And so I'll submit to you that it is possible for us to experience Independence Day in our spiritual life. And this passage in John chapter 8 gives us a very clear understanding and a very clear path that we can use as we get to our Independence Day. And so there are three things I want to point out to us in the text today that we really need to understand and that we really need to move toward in our spiritual journey in order to get to the point where we experience Independence Day. The first thing we need to understand is the misconception. Somebody say misconception. Now, as quiet as it's kept and as sanctified and as holy as we are, many of us would say that we're not in bondage. I'm not in bondage. Are you in bondage? Many of us would say we're not in bondage. But according to the word of God, we are in bondage. Now, your bondage may look different from my bondage. You know, you may be bound to pornography. You may be bound to alcohol. You may be bound to drugs. You may be bound to credit cards. You may be bound to addictions of various types. But in some way, shape, form, or fashion, we all have some type of addiction going on. We all have something or someone or some object that we have spent our time and energy on and focused our time and energy on that oftentimes supersedes the amount of time and energy that we spend with God. Amen. If you can't say amen, say ouch. It's all right. But oftentimes we find ourselves in a position like the people here in the text. It's like, what do you mean? We're children of Abraham. I'm not in bondage. When it's time for altar prayer, when it comes time for healing and deliverance service, it's like, oh, I'm not going to that because I don't need to be delivered from nothing. I'm good. You good? When it comes time for us to lay our cares and our concerns on the altar, oftentimes we are the main ones who are in denial about what it is that we're carrying. And the good news for you today is after you leave out of this service, you no longer have to be bound. Now, unfortunately, some of the things that we're carrying and some of the things that we're in bondage to are not even ours. Some of y'all are carrying your grandmother's issues. You're carrying your great-grandmother's issues, your great-great-grandmother's issues. Oh, I don't like them. What'd they do? Oh, I don't know, but we were just told not to like them. Oh, we can't go over their house. We can't be associated with them because their family is known in the community to be less than everybody else. We're carrying issues and we're carrying weights of people who have been dead and gone for many years. And God is calling us in this season that we're in. And God is calling us as we move forward in the vision that he has for us to get free. Somebody's going to get free in here today. You might not even know it. You might not even be listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth because the enemy has you so tied up and tangled up in mess that you can't even hear and focus on what I'm saying. And the good news for you today is your Independence Day. I don't have to wait till Wednesday to get free. Because the Bible tells me that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I don't have to wait for Pastor Warner to show up and to anoint me, because the Spirit of God said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Touch your neighbor and say, Independence Day. The second thing we have to understand is the problem. Somebody say problem. In verse number 34, it says, and Jesus answered them, verily I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. If you can put your hand up in front of your mouth. Come on. Come on. Blow out real quick. So if you felt hot air on your hand, that means you're a slave to sin. Because sin is classified as anything that separates us from the love of God. Anything that keeps us from going and doing what it is that God has called us to do. Now, I don't know what sin is in your life, but I know what it is in my life. I'm very aware and I'm very conscious of those things that separate me from God. Some of them I do good at. Some of them I do okay at, and some of them I'm like, I just don't want to deal with that. But at the end of the day, even though I don't recognize that it's sin, does not mean that I'm not slave to it. And the quicker that we get to the point where we can acknowledge it, we can call it out, then God can begin the process of delivering us. Part of the reason why we get so closed off is because oftentimes we end up making the mistake that the same vertical relationships that we have is the same as our horizontal relationships. And that's not the case. God as your father is not the same man that you have here on earth. God as your father is not the same man who left you so many years ago. God as your father is not the same man who abused you and tore you down and demeaned you each and every day of your life. It's tight, but it's right. I'm trying to get you to understand that the way that you look at man, the way that you look at me, the way that you look at everybody else in here cannot be the same way that you look at God. Because the Bible clearly tells us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And as a result of that, I can't put the same issues and I can't put the same actions on a true and a living God that I do on people who are living sin and are slave to sin every day. And so some of us need to go to people and apologize. You know what? I'm sorry. I've been a slave to sin. And as a result of me being a slave to sin, it has caused me to act in a certain way. And because I went to church today, I made a conscious decision that I wanted to be free. And as a result of me being free, there's some things that are going to change in my house. There's some things that are going to change when I go to work tomorrow. There's some things that are going to change in my mind frame because I made a conscious decision that I want to be free. Why continue to live in sin? Why continue to be a slave to something that you don't even have to be? The Word of God says, whom the Son has made free will be free indeed. And so you know what that means? If we choose to live in bondage, that's on us. That's not on God. If you choose to be busted and disgusted and irritated and walk around with an attitude, if you choose to continue to worry about those things that you're carrying, if you choose to continue to give power to people who are meaningless in your life, then that is a decision that you are making, and you are choosing to live in bondage. Because I have access to the Son, I can be free. Because I know who the true and the living God is, I can be free. Because I know who the true and the living God is, I no longer have to be bound. I no longer have to be irritated. I no longer have to go to Jack and Ciroc and Jose Cuervo and Grandma Ye and Jack Daniels. I don't have to go to any of those. I don't have to go seek out the drug dealer. I don't have to go seek out the pharmacist, because I want to live a life that's free. Tell your neighbor, you can be free. Tell your neighbor on the other side, you can be free. And the encouragement for us is the scripture goes on and says, the slave does not have a permanent place in the household. So this place that you've set up, this house that you've set up in slavery, isn't meant to be permanent. This bondage that you found yourself in, it was not meant to be permanent. And because of what God has done for us and because of the love that God has given to us, after we realize what the problem is, God has given us a solution. Somebody say solution. In verse number 34, it says, so if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be free indeed. By the virtue of the fact that you are a child of God, you can be free. By the virtue of the fact that you have the ability to communicate and connect with a higher power, you can be free. And I know for many of us, you might be like, what? What does that look like, Reverend Holt? I've been bound all my life. I've been the underdog all my life. People have ridiculed and criticized and put me down all of my life. What does it look like for me to be free? What would it look like for Emory Grove to be a free church? What would it look like as we begin to engage in a youth ministry and train up children to get free so that they could go out into the schoolhouse and begin to deliver their classmates? What would it look like at NIH, at Cisco, at FDA, whatever job you have at the hospital, at the nursing home? What would it look like at your job, at Metro, at Ride On, at the School of Education Board? What would it look like in your career if you lived a life of freedom? How much less stress you would have in your life if you walked into that office and said, I am free. If you walked into your house and looked at those children and looked at those adults and said, I am no longer bound by your foolishness. I am no longer bound by your craziness, but God has delivered me. What would it look like? What would it look like in your finances? What would it look like in your finances if God sets you free? How different ministry would be if we understood that God has made us free in our finances. We oftentimes get so bound up. I can't give. I can't go. I can't sow because there's so many other things that need to be done. And God is like, will you trust me? And really, when you think about it, that's what being free comes down to. Will you trust God? You carry the Bible. You got the cross around your neck. You can quote the scriptures, but you're still in bondage. You sit on all the boards. You sing on the choir. You stand on the door, but you're still bound. And the Spirit of God is saying in this place, will you be free? As we move toward Independence Day on Wednesday, as people are celebrating fireworks, as people are celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence, will you have an Independence Day in your life? It's free. It's available to you. You have access to it. You know the author and the finisher of your freedom. But still and yet, the question remains, will you trust me? When everything else around you is falling apart, will you trust me? When your body is racked with pain, will you trust me? When the devil is trying to convince you that the only option is suicide, will you trust me? When the bill collectors are blowing up your phone, will you trust me? Will you convince yourself that you're not good enough? Will you trust me? Will you convince yourself that God is nowhere to be seen or heard or experienced? Will you trust me? That's only a question that you can answer. I'm not asking, will your mother trust him? I'm not asking, will your father trust him? Will your children, your aunts, your uncles, your sisters, your brothers? Will you trust God? We've been preaching now for almost a half a year that God is moving in this place. There are some things that we could not even have imagined January 1st. We're not even we just got halfway through the year. And God is already doing a new thing. I kept telling y'all, you better get ready. I kept telling y'all, change is coming. And now it's here. I don't have to talk about what's coming. Change is here. God is calling us to step outside of our comfort zone. God is calling us to do a new thing. God is calling us to be leaders in the kingdom of God. And we cannot lead in the kingdom of God if we are bound by sin. We cannot lead in the kingdom of God if we are not willing to trust God wholeheartedly to lead us in the way that he would have us to go. And so you may say to yourself, well, Reverend Ho, I hear you. I hear you. I've been living in bondage. And I want to give God a try. I don't know what that looks like. I'm scared to death. But I'm willing to give God a shot. I've tried everybody else. And I've experienced failure. I've tried everything else. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of telling people about it. I'm tired of hearing your opinions about it. God, I want to trust you. And if you're in that place, I'm so glad you're here so that I could introduce you to a man who loved you despite your mess. He loves where your hairline is. He loves the texture of hair that you have, whether it's yours or whether it's purchased. He loves where your waistline is. He loves what your feet look like. He even likes your body odor. This man named Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you because he knew that on July 1st, 2018, you're going to be here at Emory Grove so that I can introduce you to him and so that you could get to know him for yourself. I could tell you many stories about him. I could tell you about how he loves me. I could tell you about how he keeps me, about how he sustains me. But I want you to get to know him for yourself so that you then can go tell the story to somebody else that I know a man. He's a good man. He's my man. And he cares for me, and he loves for me, just for me. If you don't know that Jesus that we're talking about as we stand to our feet this morning, I invite you to come. Come to get to know that man that you've been searching for. Come to get to know that friend, that confidant that you've been looking so hard for. He's right here. He just wants to know, will you come? He just wants to know, will you trust him?
Amen.
The second invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, Reverend Holt, I know the man, but I don't have a place to plug in. I don't have a place where I can work out my soul salvation. We would love to have you here at Emory Grove. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. We are by no means a perfect church. But we are a church that is striving to be all that God has called and created us to be. And so if you hear the Spirit of God saying, my son or my daughter, welcome home. We invite you to come.
To Jesus.
And the third invitation I want to extend it for those of you all who may say, well, I've been away from home, but I'm ready to come back. As the song is sung, if you fall within either of those three categories today, we invite you to come. Is there one?
To Jesus. Come on, come on, come, come, come. To Jesus. Oh,
come. I know it's Communion Sunday, but I want to open up the altar of God. Because I believe there's some issues and concerns that we need to lay at the altar. And so if you need an Independence Day in your life today, we invite you to come. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know what burdens you're carrying. But I know that there's a true and living God who wants to have a conversation with you.